Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the Summit Church podcast. At the end of this episode, be sure to take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel to catch more content that will encourage you in your journey with Jesus. And if this message inspires you, share it with a friend. I hope the next few minutes will be a blessing to you. Enjoy.
Our world is smaller and louder than ever before. You can figure out anything you want to know at the tip of your fingertips. For instance, if you're trying to fix something, repair something around the house, for people like me who are not inclined to do such things, YouTube is your best friend. You can find a video on how to do almost anything on YouTube. Or if you're decorating and you want to make sure it looks just so, no worries. There's a Pinterest board that you can find, and it will give you all the links to all the things that you might ever want to buy. Or maybe you're like me, and you're on a quest to make the perfect brisket. Never fear. There are Facebook groups with conflicting information to provide you everything that you could possibly want to know. And as the world continues to get smaller and the amount of information at our fingertips continues to increase, there's one thing that is not growing, and that is our wisdom. The question becomes, what do we do with what we know so that we can be people who are walking in the way of wisdom? I heard it said recently that as you walk the streets of life, there are two things that you should never fail to pick up: money and wisdom. Because after all, we can all use a little bit more of both, can't we? Which is why we are kicking off this series called Wisdom. My name's Ryan, I'm one of the pastors here at the Summit, and I am so excited about this series because of what it does for us for the rest of this year. Yes, we just had school board elections. Yes, we just had votes on the relocation of Kauffman Stadium. Yes, that is over. But if you haven't done the math in your mind yet, we are just beginning a 7-month slog toward the first Tuesday in November, the time at which our country will elect a president. And if you thought the information 4 years ago was a lot, just wait until this year. They found more ways to provide you more information. And the thing about information in an election year is that some of it is good and most of it is bad. And we have to decide how we sort through and figure out which of the information can be believed and which of the information we should use. And we've been doing this our whole lives, haven't we? I mean, when you went to school, elementary school, the first thing your teachers started doing was passing on information. They were growing your knowledge bank by teaching you things like how to read and write and how to do math. And along the way, they would test your knowledge to be sure that you could spell and do basic math. And all of these things were happening in real time. And your knowledge base was growing. And as your knowledge base was growing, your wisdom, unfortunately, doesn't increase at the same speed, because knowledge and wisdom are not synonyms. Knowledge and wisdom are not the same thing. They are related, but one does not guarantee the other. In the age of the internet, our world is so small. Gaining knowledge is so easy. But what we do with that knowledge in order to make a difference is the question that we must answer. So over the next few weeks, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to look at what wisdom is and how we can synthesize the knowledge that we gain into wisdom that helps us to live lives that make a positive impact on the world around us. But before we get too deep, I think we should probably define wisdom. What is it to be wise? Wisdom is a soft skill, I would say. It's something that is hard to look at someone and know if they have. It's something that's hard to test for. It's one of those things that you know if someone has it or doesn't have it once you've seen them live their life a little bit. Like, you've done something wise or unwise, and you begin to put all the pieces together, and you learn about a person in that way. So let's define wisdom. Here's a dictionary kind of definition of wisdom. An all-encompassing idea that speaks to bringing together and synthesizing both related and unrelated things to move toward a desired outcome. What does that mean? I don't exactly know. So I thought that maybe we would define wisdom by looking at what wisdom is described in real life. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs today. This book is written by a guy named Solomon. So Solomon is David's son. David's someone you may have read about in the Bible before. David was a king, and he did good stuff and bad stuff. It's not like you want to copy and paste his life, because there were some things you would not want to be associated with. But David did some things in his life that were positives, that pull through. And one of the positive things that David did was raise his son Solomon to know and fear God. So Solomon grows up in this household where he knows who God is, and he has a desire to live a life that is pleasing to God. So when Solomon grows up, he marries the Pharaoh's daughter, and he's living among the people who are worshiping pagan gods. And Solomon is conflicted. He doesn't know what to do because he knows right from wrong. He knows the things that he should do and shouldn't do, and he's having a hard time processing all of that and living in a way that honors God in an ungodly world. Solomon may have a few parallels to the way that we feel in certain places and situations in the 21st century. But Solomon has one thing happen to us that I don't know if any of us have had happen. God appeared to Solomon in a dream. And God acknowledges the tension that Solomon is feeling. And he offers Solomon the opportunity. And he says, ask for whatever you want and I will give it to you. And I've played this game before, right? It's the three wishes thing. Like if you'd have three wishes, what would they be? Think about it for just a moment. If you could have three wishes, what would they be? Three things. Okay, there are lots of adult answers here, right? Like, I just want to have health care for a decent price, you know? But when I was 12, this is the way the three wishes went for me, okay? My first wish was I wanted $1 million. My second wish is I wanted a Lamborghini. And my third wish is three more wishes, right? I mean, I was hoping to work the system a little bit. And Solomon is in this spot, and he has a moment here where he can choose what it is he's going to ask for, and he knows that this God who he worships is going to come through, and he's going to get whatever it is that he asks for. And so Solomon ponders, and he thinks about it, and he comes to a conclusion, and here's what Solomon says. Solomon says, it's really hard living in this world. I'm not quite sure what to do. I'm a young man, and I need guidance. And I think this must have impressed God a little bit because God says back to Solomon, he says, you didn't ask for a long life or wealth. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you both of those things just because you didn't ask for them. And I'm going to teach you right from wrong. I'm going to give you wisdom as well. And in this moment, Solomon became the wisest, richest person in history. Now, Solomon wasn't without faults. He was not a perfect person. He always knew the right thing to do, but he didn't always do it. And yet, he leaves behind a treasure trove for us, a book of instruction, a book of wisdom, pointing us in the direction that we should go. It's often said that Jesus is found in every book of the Bible. And in this book today, I would challenge you to think about Jesus as being wisdom in this moment. Here is what Solomon writes. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. These are the proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. We've covered all of that. Verse 2. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. The first thing we need to know about wisdom, if we're defining what it looks like, is this. Wisdom is seeing beneath the surface. To be a person who is wise is to not accept everything at face value. Instead, you use everything you know, and you put that information, that knowledge on top of the situation, and you grow in wisdom. Wisdom is going beyond knowledge toward applying it in your daily life. It's often true that knowledge is gained by the transfer of information. And wisdom is the real life experience that moves you to action. Now, contrary to the image that may pop up in our mind, I don't think it's true that wisdom is a person sitting in a candle-filled room with a long beard and pontificating the greater things of life. I think wisdom is more closely aligned with a person who is living their life, bringing their knowledge to bear, and living in a way that honors God. Knowledge is seeing the warning flag indicating that there's wildlife in the water. Have you ever seen something like this? Yes, there is a shark swimming toward the people. Knowledge is seeing the flag on the beach and getting in the water. Wisdom is seeing the flag on the beach and staying out of the water. It is applying what you know so that you're in a better situation moving forward. Wisdom sees beyond the temporary into the eternal. Wisdom cares more about the outcome than the experience. The first part of wisdom is gaining insight. Wisdom is seeing beneath the surface. But Solomon keeps writing. He says their purpose, again, these proverbs, these things he wrote, is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. And in this way, wisdom is living for the future. Yes, wisdom is seeing beneath the surface, but wisdom is also living for the future. Living with wisdom means that we allow what we want most to take precedence over what we want now. If we're going to play this out in a real practical sense, it would be taking the knowledge about how much money you make and applying that to a purchase you're considering. For example, you don't purchase a 2024 Yukon Denali on a 1986 Toyota Corolla salary. It may feel good for a moment, but it will catch up with you. It's deciding that what you want most, financial stability maybe, is more important than what you want now, that new car that you could drive. But it's more than that. Wouldn't it be nice if you could sometimes tell people exactly what you thought? I mean, most of us have been trained, we've learned along the way to have a filter so that every thought we have in our mind doesn't just come racing out. Now, it's taken a few years, but my filter has built itself up to a point that it's probably where it needs to be. Sometimes it would feel so good just to take the filter off, and when someone does something, just instantly just give them feedback on what's going on in my mind, wouldn't it? See, wisdom is wanting to do that and choosing not to, because the ultimate goal of being Christ-like, living a Jesus-like life, would be wrecked if that's the path that I took. To live with wisdom is to follow Jesus, and the wisdom Jesus provides is certainty for the future. And wisdom is living for the future. So if wisdom is seeing beneath the surface and living for the future, maybe we can mash those into one statement and say it like this. Wisdom is seeing what might be so that you are prepared for the future. This is appealing, right? Wouldn't it feel good to kind of have an idea about what your life could look like in the future? But you know, does wisdom come with age? Does wisdom come with money? Does wisdom come with voting this way or that way? The answers are no, no, and no. But wisdom can be yours. Here's what Solomon writes in verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. Now, there's another message about why wisdom is referred to as a woman. I think you can probably put the pieces together yourself. But today I want to focus on the fact that wisdom is shouting in the streets. Wisdom isn't hiding. Every time I log into one website on my computer, it's encouraging me to create this new thing called a passcode. And I don't even know what that means because I have passwords and I have PIN numbers and I have security questions and I have a fingerprint. And now I need a passcode to log on to this same website. And it blows my mind. And wisdom is much more powerful, and it's not hiding from me at all. In fact, wisdom is asking to be found. I mean, if you're playing hide and seek with wisdom, this is how wisdom is hiding. You can't see it, but it can see you. You know how that works. Wisdom isn't for the aged or the elite or the well-to-do. Wisdom isn't for the Republicans or the Democrats. Wisdom is available to all people. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking and thinking about how we synthesize a constant stream of information in our lives into something that will help us to see what might be so we're ready for what is to come. And this is important. This is exactly why I'm not going to tell you between now and 7 months from now or ever who you should vote for when the election rolls around. This is exactly why I'm not going to tell you which way you should vote on an issue. I know there are some pastors who would love nothing more than to use this platform as an opportunity to tell people what to do. They would love nothing more than to whisper in your ear when you're at your polling place, but I don't think that's necessary because I believe the words of Solomon are true, that wisdom is shouting in the streets. Wisdom is available to you. When wisdom is calling out, wisdom can be found. So how are we people who find wisdom? Finding wisdom is actually easier than you might think it is. It starts with this. Are you ready? Put down your phone and turn off your TV. That is the beginning of wisdom. See, wisdom is calling out, but we don't often hear wisdom because we're distracted and surrounded by other things in our lives. A 2024 study that Nielsen did showed that adults over the age of 18, most of us, use a screen for 8 hours and 24 minutes a day. A third of our day is spent looking at, consuming, processing information coming at us from a screen. And it's no wonder that we're overwhelmed with information. Our knowledge is increasing, but our wisdom doesn't grow at the same rate. You're familiar with the food pyramid, right? It was the thing that the government put out to tell us how to eat healthy. Super helpful. In fact, I made my own. This is the Ryan Schreckengast food pyramid. And it wouldn't fit on there, but Dr. Pepper Zero Sugar is fine, but the cream soda variety is actually the very best. There's a real one too. So let me demonstrate with the real one. So the grains on up to the fats and oils, the idea is that what's at the base of the pyramid is what you should consume the most of. And as you climb up the pyramid, you should be consuming less as you get closer to the top. And the same thing actually can apply to wisdom. In a book he recently released, Brett McCracken shared something called the wisdom pyramid. It looks like this. And the wisdom pyramid helps us see how we're processing the information in our lives to convert our knowledge into wisdom. So if you had to fill this in today, how would you do it? What would be the thing at the bottom that is most of how you're living out your knowledge and converting it to wisdom? What would be at the top? What would be the least? Now there's some icons on here that kind of give it away for you just a little bit, but at the top should live media. And here's the problem. We are people who are most influenced by this thing at the top, by the news, by social media, and by other things we read online. And I know the argument is like, well, why does that matter where I'm getting my information? Here's why it matters. Because I know exactly what is in your social media feed. It's what you want to hear. Whatever it is that will keep you there, whatever it is that will keep you scrolling, whatever it is that will get you to comment, whatever it is that's going to keep your interest, that's what's in your feed. That's what's in Up Next on YouTube. That's the next reel you're going to find. That's the next group that's going to be suggested on Facebook. That's the next TikTok you're going to see. Your algorithm knows you. Listen to this. Your algorithm knows you better than you know yourself. And we're constantly being sucked in, finding ourselves inundated with information, maybe even propaganda that begins to pile up. And everywhere we look, our own viewpoint is being confirmed, that the way we think can be the only right way to think on whatever the issue is. And I won't share one this morning because whatever issue I pick, everyone will think that I'm talking positively about the other side of that issue. And while wisdom is calling out to us, we miss it. I love technology. In fact, I'm what they call an early adopter. My wife calls it a sucker. That means that every new thing that comes out, I would love to own it. I would love to buy it. I would love to have it. What does it do? I'm not sure, but it looks cool, and so I think that I need that thing. So it was a little bit off-brand for me a few years ago when I de-digitized my spiritual life. I mean, I still have the Bible app on my phone. I hope you do too. You can take your Bible with you wherever you go. But a few years ago, I noticed that when I got on the Bible app to read my plan, I would see a notification pop up and I would click that thing. And the next thing I knew, my Bible reading time became my social media time or my news reading time or my crossword puzzle time or whatever the thing happened to be. And so a few years ago, I de-digitized my spiritual life. And so when I want to hear what God has to say to me, when I want to read Scripture, this is how I read Scripture, this Bible. It sits open on my desk when I'm studying to preach a sermon. This is the Bible that I read from. This is what I use. Why? Because I want to be sure that I don't conflate what God is saying and what anyone else is saying to me in that moment. What is it for you? Maybe it's not digitizing your spiritual life, but maybe it's deleting an app or removing a channel from your favorites, or maybe it's unfollowing or muting someone that drags you down. What is that thing for you that you need to help you put media at the top of the pyramid? Yes, it's part of the culture we live in. Yes, it's unavoidable. Yes, it's okay. Yes, you can use it. But how do you put it in a place where it's not dominating everything that you think and say and do? This idea of converting knowledge into wisdom seems like a big chasm to jump, but it's not that big. Let me illustrate for you. At the beginning, we showed you a video, and it had lots of different clips from videos from TikTok and Instagram and YouTube. And so I just want to show you one of them more in its entirety, and I want to talk through how we go from knowledge to wisdom. Watch this. So starting next week, I'm going to talk that fast and in that voice. So that's number one. So you watch this video and you think, oh, okay, I can buy a home with no down payment. That is great. So let's assume for a moment that all that information's true. Is it? I don't know. One of the real estate agents in our church texted me and said, you should ask a real estate agent to figure it out for you. Okay, so you can start with that. That's not a bad place to start. So I'm just going to assume it's true. So knowledge is you can buy a home with no down payment. But wisdom is asking yourself some other questions. Like, is this the right time to buy a home? Am I still thinking about moving across the country in 6 months? Do I have enough money to afford this at the moment? What strings are attached to a free gift that's being offered to me? How long will I have to live here? Is that rift that I heard at work going to take place? And these real-life questions interact with the knowledge, and when you make a decision, it becomes based on wisdom. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be thinking about how we take different areas of our lives and bump them up against the knowledge that we have and the wisdom we can gain and see how it might help us become more wise. I shared with you earlier, I once heard it said, that there are two things you should never fail to pick up, money and wisdom. And I believe that if you're looking for wisdom, it can be found because wisdom is calling out. And my prayer for you this week is that you will indeed find wisdom as you search for it and as you look to take your knowledge and activate it into something that can truly change the world. We're going to wrap up with prayer in just a moment, but before I do that, I want to say a brief word about this prayer. For this series, we've actually written a prayer. It's pre-written, so you can catch it on social media later. I get the irony of that, okay? So you can catch it on social media later. And it's a prayer that you can pray all week long. In fact, I encourage you to pray it all week long. Maybe you're one of the people who made a commitment to So Much More and you said, I'm going to commit to praying every day. I'm going to try to pray every day. If that's you, here the work has been done for you. It's a prayer that you can pray to give you words to think about as you process what it might look like to be a person who grows in wisdom. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in a time when so many voices offer wisdom, Lord, will you help us to discern where your truth resides? Quiet our souls in this age of distraction. Guide our hearts with your evergreen wisdom. As you have led people in the past, lead us now through this sea of opinions. Guide us around pitfalls and unseen snares until we come to see your wisdom with clarity. God of wisdom, let us not be fooled by the latest trends. Instead, may we rest with confidence in your word that endures. Pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.